This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. expresspros.com.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Tough is it to see that one slip away when you think the offense did its job against Scooble?
To be honest with you, like, this one wasn't as tough as yesterday. I think we competed the right way. We did a good job against the best pitcher in the big leagues. And just happened that we ran our time right. They scored in the ninth, but I'm pleased with the effort, the way we went about it. And obviously, we got swept here. It sucks, but I'm not even thinking about that. I thought, you know, the last 2 days we competed the right way.
Oh, well, at least they have that going for them, Keith.
Yeah,
I didn't realize.
They'll be fine.
Swept by the Tigers, yeah. Walked off a couple nights in a row. But at least they're competing the right way.
Yeah.
I like your compete level.
Yeah,
compete level's high.
Good. What's their battle meter, though?
Not 100. Tell you that much.
Well, according to Cora.
No.
It might be.
I don't think they have a losing record.
You heard the voice of Rob Bradford, WEEI.com, and the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast. He joins us every Thursday at 11:30. We'll get back to Celtics talk. We'll mix in some thoughts on the Patriots schedule as well. Keith and I will go on the clock at high noon, give you 60 seconds on the Patriots, their record, the schedule, all that good stuff, plus Tatum, and an update to his injury timeline coming your way about 15 minutes from now. Rob Bradford, brought to you by McFarland Energy. McFarland to you, Rob. The heating, cooling, and bio-heat delivery pros that Eastern Mass and all of Cape Cod depend on, McFarlandEnergy.com. What do you think of that comment from Cora?
I was sorry. I couldn't get past Sad Jamai asking the question. I love Sad Jamai. It should be a Twitter account. I know it's just a tough one.
Sorry.
compete level. Yeah, I mean, what, you know, it is what it is. What is it? 4-14 now in one run games. That's, by the way, one loss more the entirety of last year when it comes to one run games.
Dang.
This is the part that I did agree with Breslow and is in the morning hit this morning, is that you do, when you have that, you have to look at the reason and the cause. Like, you can't just say it's a long season. Yeah, okay. But you have to, when you have 14 of these suckers, you know, and you had 13 of them last year in total.
Yeah, it's alarming.
It's something.
Sounds like Gerard Mayo. Like, we play a lot of close games. It's like, yeah, you lose them all.
Yeah,
maybe
yeah.
You figure that out.
Yeah, maybe don't put the spotlight on yourself so much. But I guess on some level it's a small sample size, but it is more than a quarter of the schedule. Like, that's a hard thing to just shrug away.
No, and also you need to win games. You need you have these teams on winning streaks who have figured it out. And, yeah, they're still in it right now. But if you keep doing this, if you keep playing this middle-of-the-road stuff and you keep saying, oh, I think it's going to work out, then next thing you know, all these other teams are going to take off. And I do think that as we sit here in mid-May, like trades, I've talked about this a million times, trades in May almost never happen. That's why I love the Luis Arraez trade last year on May 4th. But, I mean, who doesn't, right?
But, still talking about.
I mean, like, or the Shea, or the Shea, or the Shea Hillebrand, the Shea Hillebrand
was the one I was.
Killed me. Yeah. Oh, really?
I was gutted.
It shook you to your core.
Yes, I love Shea Hillebrand. Yes.
Young Kim.
Yep.
Oh, really?
I remember I was at work. I was working at a warehouse when it happened, and I immediately went. Yeah, I immediately called my mom. She was at work. I never called my mom at work. And I was like, Mom, they traded Shea Hillebrand. She's like, what? Don't call me at work, Mom. What are you doing?
You know that Shea Hillebrand poster?
How'd you get this number?
That Shea Hillebrand poster on my wall?
Yeah.
You're going to have to take it down.
When did he switch from Byung-hyun Kim to BK Kim? When did he do that?
That was a mistake. I think, that was a mistake.
Was it?
Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of mistakes.
He tried to go into hiding after that World Series, maybe?
Yeah. He gave the finger to somebody. I don't know. He slept a lot, too. Anyway, the point is that I do feel like this team is in need of some jumper cables, right? This team, you need to sort of, okay, this is what you have. This is what you're dealing with. This is what has happened. But I do feel like you have the ability to have a jolt to this team. Now, where do they need that jolt? They need it with another arm late in the game in the bullpen. Absolutely. And you also need it, I think, in the form of at least one of these guys in the minor leagues. One way or the other. And this leads us to, well, how do you do that? Do you make a huge trade? That's a tough one. It's a tough one. Like, if you're going to get Anthony up here, the logical thing, which I wouldn't be averse to, is to say, we're selling high on Rafaela. We're going to trade him for, let's say, that the aforementioned bullpen arm. That's fine. Probably not going to happen. But the other avenue is the first base thing. Okay, we can get into Devers. That's fine. But the more realistic thing here is to take a guy in Christian Campbell, who is right now statistically one of the worst second basemen in the game, start putting a first baseman glove on him, see how that works, put Marcelo Meyer at second base, and there you go. I mean, this isn't like an extreme, oh my goodness, I can't believe we're doing this. There's a lot of sense to just trying it out. And I, like, even just put a first base glove on him once in a while. That's all I'm asking. Or somebody else. Like I said to you guys before,
I almost drove off the road yesterday listening to Cora talk to the afternoon guys when they were asking him about first base. Ted specifically asked him about first base several times.
Well, yeah, but by over under 4.5 times.
He asked him a lot of times, but it's a pressing issue, so I don't blame him for it. But the amount of times Cora responded with Romy Gonzalez, I was like, that ain't it.
But I think
he's coming back. I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah, I mean, I think that falls under, it is what it is, and he's going to have to say what he has to say, right?
Yeah.
But when we come back from this off day, I do not understand why you wouldn't just say, okay, we have to, we here's a first baseman glove. And I'm going to focus on Campbell. Like, initially.
Yeah, that's fine. That's what I want.
Initially, I was like Meyer, right? I'm like, do it with Meyer down in Worcester. But I do think that we've reached the point with Campbell where you're saying, yeah, he's a little rough around the edges at second base. Mm-hmm. I think he could play first base. You work him out there. My point, though, is that you have to start this process. Like, Craig Breslow comes on the radio and said, we're exploring all our avenues. Well, is the best avenue to explore, because unless you're willing to make that trade that nobody makes in May, you're going to be picking up the Garrett Coopers and the Dom Smiths all over again.
Why try Meyer at first when he hasn't done it? Why try Campbell at first when he hasn't done it? And why not try Devers there? Like, why wouldn't they? If it's the logic of moving those guys around and playing them somewhere else, why not do that?
I think there is absolutely that. Like, I don't understand why in spring training, like, you didn't throw a first baseman glove on him. I've said this a million times. I don't know why when he's fielding balls at third base, we saw him do it before plenty of games, whether it was at Fenway, whether it was in Texas. Why you don't do it then? And we now kind of know, right? He marked his territory. They said, you're only going to be a DH. They're walking on eggshells around him. But I think that if you look at it now about the best solution, like, yes, the Devers thing, could he function? Is that his future? I don't know, maybe. But I think the best solution for the athleticism that it takes, it does take some athleticism, right? This is why Roman Anthony playing first is stupid. The guy has never fielded a ground ball. So if you take this guy and Christian Campbell, who is athletic, who can field some ground balls, put him at first, that's probably the best way to do it.
More likely for Rafael Devers, he plays first base or gets traded?
Ooh, can I say neither?
I mean,
no,
I think
more likely.
That's why I'd ask the question that way, Rob, because the most likely thing is he's just the DH. But this doesn't even need to be for like this weekend or next month. I just mean like the next thing that happens to Devers, would it be more likely that he gets dealt away or that he actually plays first base?
Yeah, I would say get dealt away. Yeah, I think.
Wow.
Okay.
It's more likely he gets traded than picks up a glove and gets off his ass and goes to first base.
But
that's ridiculous.
No. But it's two different things, right? So this Devers thing is, let's make this very clear. It's solving the first base problem and what Rafael Devers did in his approach, right? So if you're asking me the best, I already laid out the best case scenario for me, like what they should do.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
And I feel like they probably think along the same lines. So is will Rafael Devers, if you ask the question, will he be willing to play first base or before he gets traded? Probably. Like that's my, you asked the question, do I think he's going to play first base or am I going to get traded? I said neither.
Well, no, he's not playing first base, right? Because that's the thing is like this big meeting, John Henry goes out there. They're like, oh, it was a great meeting. What was the phrase that he said? There was an honest discussion or whatever it was.
Yeah, an exchange of ideas good or whatever.
Good exchange. You're like, okay, there was a lot of screaming is what that sounds like. And then they're like, all right, now the owner flies back away. He's going to pay him $300 million just to DH, apparently.
Resolution. Let's not get this twisted because my biggest thing with Devers in that respect is like how, and I said this, I wrote this, how does a baseball player not say, I'm going to help the team and go to that position? That I can't get past. I just can't. And I think most baseball players feel the same way.
Okay, including his teammates?
I don't know about his teammates. Okay. I can honestly say I don't know. I've heard, I wasn't on this trip. They left. I've heard conflicting things, so I'm not going to say all. I've heard plenty of support from his teammates, certainly.
But I've also heard, I've read those reports that said guys were in the locker room rolling their eyes. Guys were saying, stop talking.
Yeah, and all I know is that if I'm in that clubhouse, we had Mike Lowell on the podcast, and you know, listen, he went through this, right? Mm-hmm. And he basically said, like, if I'm in that position, you have to have a conversation. And it's interesting with Lowell because Lowell and Cora were the guys who were massaging the Manny Ramirez situation in 2008, right? So they went through that. They understood that of this nonsensical way of looking at things. And I'll come back to the Devers thing. It's common sense. Your teammate goes down. You say, I'll do whatever is best for the team. But you guys know this. It's that a lot of times the whole respect thing, it trumps all the common sense. It does. Like, it's crazy to me. I saw it with Pedro. I saw it with Ortiz. I saw it with a bunch of really good guys, really good teammates, really good players. But sometimes, and in this case, that's the case, I think.
Yeah, Cora's given him a little too much respect. The GM has had to talk to Devers. The owner has had to fly cross country. So I would give a little more disrespect to Devers and have the manager talk to him personally. But that's me. Rob Bradford, WEEI.com. Baseball isn't boring. And a great example of baseball not being boring, Keith.
It has not been boring. They're not very good, but the game itself, the beautiful game.
Scuba last night.
It's like a soap opera.
Sale tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, Sale Crochet.
First time, if it's Sale, right? That's not
I think
locked
he's still
in
penciled
yet,
in.
But yeah, I think it's locked in.
It will be the first time in baseball history a team has faced the reigning Cy Young winners in back-to-back games. How about that for baseball?
And what a and nugget.
How about
holy
that?
Mackerel.
Oh, wow, look at that. Look at you.
That's a good stat.
How come I never get to do the random baseball player of the day?
I'm sorry. I haven't decided yet.
Oh, you haven't? I can give you a few
of Shea Hillenbrand.
On the Shea Hillenbrand.
Take him.
By the way, and also tomorrow, they may be wearing different uniforms, too.
Oh, they're wearing the green ones?
I mean, the new ones?
Yeah.
Those things are sweet. You like those? The new City
Connects? Yeah, I actually do like them.
They haven't officially released them, but they got leaked a while ago.
Yeah.
Are they going to post those?
Yeah. Breaking news. That is breaking news.
No, I think that tomorrow afternoon you'll see them. But I like them. I like the City
Connects.
The City Connects, I think some teams try really too hard. Like the Colorado Rockies Taco Bell outfits, not great.
What did you think of the Diamondbacks ones?
Yeah, the Snakes ones.
It's okay. I actually I had the guy on the podcast from the White Sox. I like theirs. The Jordan, like the homage.
Oh, the Bulls ones. The old Bulls ones are pretty good.
Well, where are the uniform shows? So this makes sense that we would break news on this. Bradford.
We should unveil them here. We should talk to the Sox.
We really should. Yeah. So new different uniforms tomorrow, you think?
That's a scuttlebutt.
That's good scuttlebutt.
Good, excellent scuttlebutt.
Yeah. What a day.
That's why we have you in, Bradfo.
Oh, thank you.
Wow. You can check him out, WEEI.com, Baseball Isn't Boring podcast as well. Bradfo, we'll talk to you next week. Thanks so much.
All right, sounds great.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
The Red Sox Front Office Report with Craig Breslow is brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh, and by FindMassMoney.gov. Morning, Craig.
Good morning.
How you doing?
I'm hanging in there. Obviously, tough few game stretch here, but you know, normally you get to say that's why we play again tonight, but we're off tonight, so we got a little bit of a chance to catch our breath.
Well, I know it's early. The baseball people always tell me you got to wait, but you know, we sit here with a quarter of the season gone, and team is hanging around 500. Bunch of these losses are one run games. What, from your perspective as the chief baseball officer, what's going on there?
Yeah, I think we have 12 one run losses, most in baseball, and normally you would say over the course of 162 games, these things tend to even out. But I think if you do that, you risk the chance of missing, you know, an important trend or failing to address something. And I think, you know, at some point we have to look at our bullpen, you know, and are we giving ourselves the best chance to win games? You know, are we getting the right guys out there? Are we, you know, are we throwing the right pitches? Do we have the right arms back there? You know, it seems like the frustrating part is we're in a bunch of these games, but we're not doing, you know, everything that it takes to win the game. We're not finishing them off.
Well, Craig, I'm glad you said that, because Alex Cora talked about, despite being swept in Detroit, he was happy with how the guys played. And I was just wondering where the line is of just not being okay with moral victories when you have such a talented roster.
Yeah, you know, and that's why I think we have to look at some of these underlying trends. And it's true that we have a really resilient group, you know, came back from some early deficits, had some really big hits. You know, the offense kept us in games, kept punching back. But at the end of the day, you know, we don't get a ton of credit for, you know, the games that we should have won but didn't, or you know, the expected outcomes. These things start to rack up. And when we have winnable games in front of us, we need to do a better job of winning them. That's the bottom line.
Craig, you said get the right guys out there. When do we kind of get past the Devers to first base? Who's going to play first base? Have you guys made a decision on what you want to do with Devers when it comes to that position, or are you focused on who is going to potentially be the next guy, whether it's, you know, Gonzalez or some of the younger guys that you might have down in Worcester?
Yeah, I think we're evaluating all of those situations at the same time. You know, I think there was the short term, you know, kind of we obviously brought up Toro, and then Romy got hurt, and, you know, we had Sogard, who's filled in, done a really nice job. But I think, you know, we want to think about what does this look like over the next few weeks, and then also what does this look like longer term. So nothing has been eliminated, but we have to be realistic about, you know, how long a transition might take. This was never something that we were going to have the answers to in a matter of days.
When nothing's been eliminated, does that mean that Devers is open to the opportunity should he be asked?
Yeah, the conversations are ongoing. Obviously, this became very, very public last week. But I do think it's best when these things are resolved internally. So, you know, we'll continue to talk through what the possibilities are. And we are going to be anchored, I've said this for a really long time, to what's best for the team. And as long as we put that first, we're going to be okay.
But what Devers said after you were on last week, following the game last Thursday, was that in the best interest of the team, Devers' reaction to the conversation you had about first base?
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously, like I just said, my preference is for these things to remain internal. But, you know, Rafi is, he's emotional, and he's invested, and he cares a ton about, you know, about the Boston Red Sox. And, you know, he obviously had some frustration that he shared kind of in real time. You know, and since then, there have been a number of conversations and meetings. Obviously, you know, John and Sam and I flew out to Kansas City. And I think that the temperature has calmed down a bit, and we're going to continue to talk and engage.
So, yeah, I was going to ask, and I appreciate the fact that you wisely at times want to keep it internal. But from your perspective, John Henry making the trip out there, that ended up being a positive when it comes to the working relationship between everybody.
For sure. You know, and the details of the conversation are best kept in the room. But John, as the principal owner, you know, getting on an airplane and flying to Kansas City to address this, I think shows how engaged he is and how much he cares and how highly he thinks of this group. You know, I think that's evidence of the fact that we believe we've got a winning team and we believe in this team. We've just got to get ourselves on the right track.
Switching gears, Craig, we've talked about Tanner Houck before, but he's continued to struggle. Now, is the injury that's now placed him on 15-day IL, is that the reason for the struggles?
Yeah, you know, I think we'll find out, but it's always relevant if a player is feeling something, you know, and the way that their bodies may compensate to try to avoid the discomfort, whether that's changing the delivery or changing pitch usage or the level of aggressiveness that you throw a pitch. And we've seen his velocity fluctuate over the last couple of weeks. He, you know, he's throwing particularly hard in a handful of starts. The one in Toronto, I think, stands out. And then the Vila was down a tick or a tick and a half. You know, in his last one, the command wasn't quite what it had been. The slider had shortened up a little bit. So, you know, I think the first thing and most important thing is we get him completely healthy, you know, and then we'll identify the impact that has on his pitches and on his delivery and ultimately on his performance.
Craig, just one more quickly on the Devers, because it's been, as you can imagine, the biggest talker regarding your team the last week. We know that you were there with John Henry and Sam Kennedy. Obviously understand the private nature of conversations, but have you yourself spoken directly with Devers since last Thursday?
Yeah, I'm in communication with almost all of our players, including Rafi. You know, it was a kind of casual interaction, but we'll continue to have the dialogue, you know, and Rafi is always willing to sit down and talk. And obviously sometimes the nature of those conversations can be frustrating, but, you know, I have to be willing to have the conversations that I think are in the best interest of the team.
And last one on that.
Don't use the Signal app, because that got the Secretary of Defense in trouble.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, that's what Ken uses to send out our schedule.
He's on WhatsApp, Ken is.
Yeah, what's up? So, Craig, there's been some speculation as well regarding the relationship of you and the manager, that you may not be seeing eye to eye on this. How are you and Alex Cora dealing these days, and are you guys both on the same page as to the future of first base?
Yes. Alex and I talk multiple times per day. We bounce ideas off of each other in a very important and productive way. We don't always see things precisely the same way as it relates to in-game strategy and those types of things. And that's what makes, I think that makes for a really meaningful and important relationship. But ultimately, we are able to talk through our situations and, you know, commit to a single direction going forward. So I think this idea of the disconnect or discord is significantly overblown here.
We talked about this a little bit earlier this morning, and I understand we're only a quarter of the way through the season, but the defense leads the league in errors, the offense leads the league in strikeouts, and the team leads the league when it comes to blown saves. For you, which is a bigger concern at this point in the season?
Yeah, and not to make light of that, but if you were to read those things out, you would say we must be 10 games under 500, right? But the reality is we've stuck around because I think despite those things, we have done, we've had some strong individual performances. We have gotten some big hits and big outs, just not enough and not consistently enough. You know, I think the one run lead losses, the blown save, that's the one that has the most like stigma and emotional attachment to it, because it typically happens late in games and you're holding a lead. I think things like strikeouts are maybe a little bit more embedded in approach and potentially take a little bit longer to mitigate. So I think the bullpen is something that can be addressed. And then also, I think with respect to the errors, there are times where you watch our team and you think this is a very, very good defensive team with strong track records of being good on defense. And some of the errors seem, and on the one hand, maybe some inexperience, particularly around first base and Christian as he gets acclimated to the big leagues. But, I think we're going to look up and say Alex Bregman has had another great defensive season, and Trevor Story is a very solid defensive shortstop. And that says nothing about the defense that our outfield has played. So that one's not as concerning to me, so long as we're doing the work every day, which I know we are. But I think the bullpen is certainly an area of focus, and then continuing the conversations with our hitting group on, what we're trying to do before we get to two strikes, and then our need to compete with two strikes and put the ball in play.
All right. Well, thanks for taking the time, as always, Craig Breslow, and we will talk to you again soon.
Sounds good. Thank you.
That is the Red Sox front office report. Here is Courtney with what is trending this hour.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by the 99. The Celtics win Game 5 against the Knicks. Final score 127-102. Derek White led the way with 34 points, while Jaylen Brown had a double-double. 26 points and 12 assists for him. Luke Kornet was awesome off the bench. He had 7 blocks in this one. So Game 6 back in New York. It will be tomorrow night at MSG. The other NBA playoff game last night, the Timberwolves win their series with the Warriors in 5 games. The Red Sox fall again in Detroit. 6-5 was the final, with Bregman homering and Hunter Dobbins going 5 innings, giving up 5 runs on 9 hits while striking out 4. So the Sox get swept in the series. They're off until tomorrow when they take on the Braves at Fenway. And for NHL playoff games last night, Edmonton takes care of Vegas in overtime to take the series in 5 games, and Florida leads Toronto with a win. They're up 3-2 in that series. Curtis brought it up as his lead, but the NFL schedules were released last night. The Pats will kick off the season September 7th at Gillette against the Raiders, a 1 p.m. kickoff. And the PGA Championship has kicked off at Quail Hollow. Scheim, are we betting this one? How's it going so far this morning?
So I didn't get in any pre-tournament bets. I'm probably going to bet after the cut. I want to see how it goes. There's 3 guys really kind of at the top in DeChambeau, McIlroy, and Scheffler, and I kind of want to see how that plays out before I commit any cash.
Do you think Breslow misses the days of telling us his favorite Pearl Jam song?
Well, where is the money currently sitting on the match, Scheim? Vegas was.
I believe actually a lot of money came in late last night upon hearing of your poor performance at the Greco Classic on me. Yeah. So the odds are currently even now, I believe.
The Courtney post was like the Dukakis tank.
Well, I mean, the form was great. It was just the lack of the spikes.
There's been a change in tone, Chime. You're right with Greg, where, you know, he was very confident, but today he was like, you know, it was just.
I did not play well yesterday. My group let me down, to be honest with you.
I bet it was the group and not you.
It was.
First time new sticks for you, too.
First time with the new clubs. And
luckily in the match, you won't have a group.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah, no, it's just mano a mano, me and Shime.
Yeah.
Coming up, that's next week, Shime.
Yep, on Tuesday.
Am I right about that? Next Tuesday. At Granite Links. Yeah.
Well, the lobster rolls are back at the Nines. Visit your local 99 today and try their famous colossal lobster rolls, 100% North Atlantic lobster piled high on grilled brioche, served hot buttered or with just the right amount of mayo and celery with fries and coleslaw. You gotta love the Nines. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
What do you think the in-flight entertainment was from the flight from Boston to Kansas City with Breslow, Kennedy, and Henry? Oof. Do you think there was like... Do you think it's just everybody on their phone? It doesn't strike me as a very jovial crew.
I'd probably watch Moneyball.
Good one. 60 degrees in Boston, raining. Should subside shortly, afternoon high up near 70.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
Back here, WEEI Afternoons, live at Scores Canal Street, just down the street from the Garden for tonight's Game 5 matchup between the Celtics and the Knicks. Come on down, celebrate, join Absolute Vodka and us. Now, though, we got to talk to Red Sox manager Alex Cora. He is brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, the official supermarket of the Red Sox Radio Network, by Arbella, here for baseball fans, here for good, and by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow. Alex Cora, how we doing this afternoon?
Doing good. How are you guys?
Good. Great. So this is not going to sound like a softball right off the bat, but in light of last night's game, I got to ask you, it feels like every week we talk to you, we're talking about win two, lose two, get back to 500.
How frustrating is that? How do you shake that trend that is the 500 baseball team that you've become over the last year plus?
Yeah, it sucks to sound this way, but we just got to play better, right? If you look at our games, especially on the road, since Cleveland, we've been in a lot of them. We had a lead in Cleveland, up 3-0. We lost that game 4-3. The two games in Toronto, in Kansas City, the extra inning game, and then the game yesterday, right? We didn't play well the first game here. We got hit. So you take those, right? That happens. But yesterday, we came back. We did an outstanding job offensively, especially at the bottom third of the lineup, and we didn't finish the game. So, there's a lot of good things that we're doing, others that we have to improve. And, we got a chance today to finish a road trip on a positive note, obviously facing probably the best pitcher in baseball.
Yeah, Alex, a lot of people, this obviously frustrating up and down kind of season, and some would say, the team maybe needs a jolt, maybe perhaps bringing up some young guys just to maybe make a point. Do you see this team needing a jolt or just little tweaks at this stage of the season?
No, we need to execute pitches. I think that's the most important thing, especially in the later part of the game. There's been a lot of damage done against us. You even go to the series against Minnesota, right? We lost that one. We had a chance to beat them 2 out of 3, even sweep them, right? And we didn't execute pitches. So obviously there's a lot of talk about what some of the guys are doing in the minor leagues, right? And obviously they're really good at what they do, but we have some good players here, and they're doing their job. I think defense can improve, and obviously the pinching part of it, especially when we had the lead late in games.
Alex, obviously a lot was made last week of John Henry and Craig Breslow flying out to Kansas City for the meeting with Rafael Devers. Reports were that you were in the room as well. So did you feel as though the meeting was productive? Were you surprised Mr. Henry decided to fly out there? And is there anything you feel like maybe could have been done to prevent things getting to the coming to such a head like that and, causing a disruption in the season?
I don't think it's disruption of the season, to be honest with you. Rafi was very vocal of what he said last week, right? And I think it tells everybody that John, Mr. Henry, he cares about the team, right? And he told me right away, I'm going to fly over there. He did. We had a good meeting, to say the least. So obviously, I'm not going to get into the details of it. And here we are, right? And Rafi had a great weekend. We play well in Kansas City. And we have struggled here in Detroit. But I think as a whole, everybody's in the same page. We just got to keep having conversations and keep working towards getting better. And as of now, as you guys know, today we're facing a lefty. Sogi's playing first base. Rafi's DH-ing. And, this is where we're at right now.
Red Sox manager Alex Cora here with us on WEEI Afternoons. Alex, when we talk about your style or skills as a manager, I know a lot of people talk about relationships being one of your strengths, the relationships you have with the clubhouse and individual players. And I'm wondering, how do those relationships play, or how do they come into the equation in a situation like what's going on with Devers?
I think at the end of the day, the relationship is the manager player, right? It's not Alex and Rafi, right? And we have conversations, we go over stuff, and at the end, we're shooting for the same goal, is to win the World Series, right? And like I said before, our conversations are private, the one thing I need, from our players is to be ready at 7:05, 7:10, 6:40, whenever the game is. And I think we have done a pretty good job as a staff, right? People are going to talk about why he doesn't want to play first or why he's the DH, they talk about the way we handle things in the off season. And, you can always be better in certain areas. I do believe we win, the right way about all this stuff, and people might agree or disagree, but I'm in the room, I know how it works, and from my end, and this is what I always tell the players, whatever decision we make professionally or in the business or in the game, it doesn't affect who we think, our relationships off the field, and that's the reality of it. It's never personal, it's just what we're trying to accomplish, and that's the way I see it.
Alex, just to kind of follow up on Andy's question, you obviously there's the Rafi stuff, you know, you deal with it him personally and go on. But, you know, it feels like, and reports are that maybe it's just impacted the rest of the locker room. The guys have an opinion on that one way or the other. Do you feel like it's this is the type of issue that you have to address with the team, or is that something you don't see as necessary?
Yeah, like I always said, you know, whatever conversations we have in clubhouse, stay in the clubhouse, right? Meetings, no meetings, one-on-one conversations. You know, we're together in this. And, you know, coming out of what happened last week, we went to Kansas City. We won 2 out of 3. The kid had an outstanding weekend. Now we're here in Detroit. We haven't won the first two games. And like I said, we're facing the best pitcher in the planet tonight. Hopefully we can do the job and win the game, you know. But I think, you know, I have the pulse of what's going on. The guys are showing up every day and ready to work and busting their tails to win games, and that's the important thing.
Alex, I know we're going to revisit the same thing I've said a couple of times during these interviews about the Sox being so consistently inconsistent. And, you know, one of the things, unfortunately, that has been consistent about the team this season is finding a way into leading the league in stats that I know don't make you very happy, like at one point leading in strikeouts. And now, unfortunately, the Red Sox lead the majors in blown saves with 11. You know, Whitlock, another tough night last night. How do you get around on that, and what can be done to try to remedy that as quickly as possible?
Yeah, I think the most important thing is to revisit what happened yesterday, go over the at-bats, you know. Javi Baez twice, we threw a breaking ball for strikes, that's a no-no for Javi, and then we try to expand and we hung a pitch, right? And it was in the same spot, right? And those are things that, you know, we have to talk to them, go over their reports, go over how we're going to execute this. And we've been burned a few times, right, over the course of the season, you know, late in games. And it's a bad taste, right? It sucks, to be honest with you. But these guys are really good at what they do. They're going to go through their hot stretch or hot streak, you know, and they're going to put zeros on the board. It just happens that, you know, the last 2 or 3 weeks, it's happened a lot, right? And it has cost us a lot of games. But we trust these guys, you know, stuff-wise, we're really good. You know, I think – it's that at the end of the day, you know, those hanging breaking balls, what we have to do, especially when we're ahead in the count, you know, to execute, and we're working on it.
Tanner Houck had a tough performance, obviously, the other night. Just wondering, I guess, how long is the leash on a guy like that, especially when it feels like you have some depth in the rotation and have some extra arms? How do you get him turned around back to all-star caliber pitcher?
Yeah, there's a few things that we have recognized the last few days and even before that, you know, and release point, you know, his delivery, the action of his pitches. You know, if you compare the sinker he threw to Gleyber Torres 2 days ago in the first inning, it's night and day compared to the sinker he was throwing in Toronto against Vladdy, Bichette, and Kirk, right? So conviction behind the pitches is really important, right? Pitching a 91, 92, it's not great, right? I think there's more in the tank, and we saw it throughout the outing, right? The more he got hit, then, you know, he stepped on the gas and he started throwing harder. Command was off that night. So there's a few things that the pitching department has recognized, and we're going to work on it.
Alex, thoughts on first base? Last week when we talked to you, it sounded like as if you would have been okay if, you know, Romy Gonzalez maybe kind of took the job there, but he's on the IL right now. Just your overall thoughts, Abraham Toro and Nick Sogard filling in, just that position, where it stands currently, first base.
Yeah, there where we at. Like I said, Sog is playing first today, and Friday we're facing two lefties. Most likely Toro will play Saturday. And if everything goes well, I think Romy should be back with us on day 10 of his IL stint. You know, he's feeling good. He's moving better. Just a matter of see if we need a rehab assignment. And if he needs it, he'll go get a few at-bats, and he'll be with us. So both of them very good defensively. They made some plays, and I think the at-bats have been solid, you know. Sog especially, you know, when he got here. Just a different at-bat, you know, very patient, puts the ball in play. Played the little game, right? And like I said, defensively, it's something that we really, you know, care about. You know, we have to catch the ball over there. We have to make plays. And so far, both of them have done a good job.
Alex, 4-6 over your last 10, but still you haven't lost a lot of ground because Yankees 5-5, Jays 500, Rays 500, Orioles 4-6. Obviously, the AL East is struggling. So it feels like if you guys could just build momentum, catch fire, win 5 or 6 in a row, you could really turn things around quickly. Is there any one extra something besides, you know, not hanging a breaking ball or just putting good barrels to the bat that you think this team needs to get that winning streak going?
Obviously, coming here from Kansas City, we get momentum, and then we gave it right back. On the first game of the series yesterday, it felt great until it didn't. Right, so it'll be good to finish strong this road trip, play good today, and win the ball game. We get an off day tomorrow, and then it's a long homestand. And we've been talking about this for the last 2 or 3 years. You know, we have to be better at home. We face the Braves, we face the Mets, and then Baltimore. You know, having that great homestand that we haven't had in years, you know, it feels like we haven't had a long winning streak either. So, 8 out of 10, 13 out of 15, 13 out of 16, you know, that'll be great. And if we do that, you know, then you can survive for a week, you know, play for 100, and then you go right after it, you know. And that's how winning teams do it, you know. It doesn't happen winning 20 in a row. You know, that happened once or twice that I remember. Colorado in 07 and Cleveland, I think it was in 17, right? So just keep winning series, which is the most important thing, obviously. Save this one, win this one, and then go home and dominate.
Alex, we had some pretty big news in the world of baseball yesterday, and I know you're a fan of baseball, a historian of the game. The announcement from the commissioner's office that Pete Rose and others are now eligible for the Hall of Fame. Just what was your reaction to that news?
A little bit surprised, you know, with the decision, but, you know, these people, they give a lot of thoughts to stuff like this. I can tell you, I lived it, right, a few years ago. And, you know, it's not a decision that was made one day or a reaction to something. So respect the decision, you know. Obviously, a lot of people are excited about what might happen in the future. It's not a given that that might happen, but at least it's one step of hope, you know, for Pete to make it to Cooperstown.
Hey, Alex, I can't get off first base. I got to just ask you about it again. The homestand coming up, a lot of people are thinking that maybe perhaps that's an opportunity to get to Rafi some work there at first base. Do you anticipate, having Rafi take grounders at first during this homestand to maybe prepare him for an opportunity to play first?
Like I said, you know, conversations are going on. You know, there's not a given Rafi's going to take ground balls at first in the homestand. But we'll keep working at it, not only with him, but with others. And, you know, I know Craig is doing a good job just, you know, on the phone trying to gather as much information as possible. You know, the goal here is to make the team better, right? I think the most important thing here in the short run is to get Romy back, getting healthy, give him a chance to play first and see where he takes us.
Alex, obviously you got your hands full tonight against maybe the best pitcher in baseball in Skubal, and you could use, like you said, a big dub to come home and start a home standoff on the right way. But, you know, obviously there's a huge game going on tonight right around the corner from us at the Garden. Celtics are in an elimination game, odds against them against the Knicks. You know, you've managed in elimination games, you know when the stakes are really high. What's that extra something you bring as a coach, a manager, leader of men in an elimination game to try to relax them, but at the same time let them know it's go time, get it done?
I think it goes both ways, right? You're excited about the opportunity to compete again, right? And you have a chance to make something special, but at the same time, understanding that you have to slow it down. And I think that's what the guys are going to do. I wouldn't be surprised if they go out there tonight and they win by 20 and take it to Madison Square Garden and see what happens over there.
All right, Alex, appreciate you joining us. Wish your brother happy birthday, by the way. The only thing we don't want you to give him as a gift would be a victory.
You know what?
Right?
Enough of him. Bro, I saw him last night, and all kidding aside, sometimes people say, he's BS and whatever. Well, I just want to, you know, share what I see here. You know, I think that's a cool thing about this show and talking to the media. So last night, you know, we're up in the 11th, whatever it is, or 12th, and, you know, Javi hits the homer. And you see my brother's reaction, and my thought was like, this is freaking real, you know, like he was so excited, you know, to for his team, obviously, and he forgot that his little brother was on the other side. He can care less about me.
All right, Alex, thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you next week. Good luck tonight.
Thanks, Alex.
We'll see you guys next week.
Yes, sir. All right.
Alex Cora, the manager of the Boston Red Sox, joining us here on WEEI Afternoons. We are live from Scores, where the crowd is starting to come in. We got a few at the bar starting to pregame Celtics-Knicks tonight. We'll talk about that next and react to what Alex Cora had to say because Ted Johnson was hounding him on the first base situation. That's all next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Oh, people are excited, Keith.
We are back.
Another Top 5 Friday. What are they ranking this week?
Could be anything. Could be literally anything.
What have we ranked in the past? We've ranked people we're most concerned for.
Yeah, Belichick was high on that
Belichick
list.
Was number one on my list.
Yeah, with a bullet.
What else have we ranked? We ranked the top five, was it Bill Belichick draft picks since 2000? They're more Belichick-centric now that we talk about it.
Yeah, actually, they're all basically Belichick.
They've all pretty much been Belichick ones.
Top five first base options for the Red Sox.
We did that last week.
That was one. That was
top five best remaining plays in the draft.
We did that one, too.
Yeah, look at us. Look at us.
And you know who my number one was? Travion Henderson.
That was good. Mine was Luther Burbank.
Impromptu
deuces. Work out.
We
did.
It was impromptu deuces.
Well, it was more of a Mount Rushmore is what that was. Yeah, it was more of a Mount Rushmore.
Best draft since 01.
Ooh.
Yeah, we've done a lot of these.
You know what? The top five Armstrongs in there, too.
We did do a top five Armstrongs.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I wanted to do, but it got nixed, was top five Final Destination deaths.
Oh,
in honor of the new one coming out tonight.
Yeah. Who nixed that?
Huh?
Who didn't want to do that?
I don't think he didn't present. I was going to say, he didn't present that idea.
I feel like that would be
because we would have been on board with it.
I just came up with it now.
Keith's ex-wife.
I wanted to play it. So, yeah.
Okay. Red Sox aces since 2000. You want to get right into the list or you want to talk criteria ahead of time?
I want to talk about it first because you hear top
Red
five
Sox aces since 2000. That's not specific enough. You need more?
Well, how do you go about this? Not just you, Jones, but the listener out there.
The general you.
Are you thinking like best individual season?
That factors.
Most anticipated start, like when it's that guy's turn to start.
Okay.
Is it a longer track record of dominance or brilliance, as it were? Is it postseason success?
Yes.
Is it longevity versus, is it quality versus quantity?
No, I mean, I'll tell you my criteria right now. I was very peak-centric, so like
peak-centric.
Best seasons.
Oh, I know who you have then.
I put weight on.
You have to have one
I
guy
put
then.
Postseason criteria.
Sure.
Significantly ahead of longevity. I don't really care about that.
No.
And then I do care about All-Star games, MVP, Cy Young votes, rather.
Yeah, yes.
You know, leading the league in strikeouts, things like
K's.
That. Yeah, like I care about that stuff. Were you a league leader? Were you an elite player? That's the kind of stuff I care
the
about.
The list felt like it was going to be a lot easier.
I agree.
When we decided to do this than it actually was.
I spent much more. I'm not a big fan of research, Keith, and work.
Well,
I did a lot more time researching and working on this than I planned on. I kind of thought I was just going to fire off five names.
I was up all night. I didn't sleep last night.
I mean, I spent a good 35 minutes. I didn't spend all night.
I had
but a good, like, 30, more than a half an hour on it.
I did it during the break. No, I literally took, I was looking up stats. I was looking up all kinds of stuff. I was surprised by some things. And I think there's only one guy that has to be on everybody's list.
Agreed.
Because everybody else, you can kind of talk around
it. We're going to have the same number one.
Yeah.
I bet 2 through 5 is very different.
I agree.
I think we have 5 number ones.
Oh, the Red Sox have at least 5 number ones
I
since
actually
2000.
Just had that staff. I just had that group. I had Joe Kelly. I had Wade Miley.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
they have 5 number ones. All right, you want to go first?
Sure, I'll go first.
Take it away.
Go from 5 to 1.
Yes.
All right, number 5 on my list for Red Sox aces since 2000. I'm going with Curt Schilling. The very polarizing Curt Schilling. In 2004, he had a tremendous season and helped them win the World Series. Sort of a co-ace at that time with another name you'll hear coming up. But he had Cy Young votes that year. He was dominant. Now, he burned pretty hot. That was his only great year in Boston, but it was a great year. In fact, the greatest year in Red Sox baseball history. So I'd put Curt Schilling. Plus, that whole year, he was a must-see starter. Like, it was something exciting about Curt Schilling starts. So I'll go Curt Schilling, number 5. Another guy that is a World Series winner coming at number 4, Josh Beckett. Josh Beckett, not consistently great, but was really good for a few seasons. In fact, he was one of these guys that every other year he was good. 07 would be the highlight, winning the World Series. The guy was a bulldog. He was I loved his attitude as well. So I got Josh Beckett 4. Number 3, Chris Sale. Kind of a tough guy to pin down. I mean, his first 2 years in Boston, he had 1 million strikeouts. He was a real ace. But by the time they won the 2018 World Series, they had to shut him down, and he pitched out of the bullpen. So not the give him the ball like Curt Schilling and have him win a game for you or Josh Beckett win a game for you, but Chris Sale starts were super exciting for a couple of years, and then unfortunately he was hurt and falling off bikes and everything else. Number 2 on my list, maybe not the
ace that you're thinking of like every single day or every fifth day. But John Lester was nasty, and he was nails in the playoffs, and he did have a couple of seasons where he had top five Cy Young votes too. So maybe not the same like cachet as a Sale or a Schilling, but I got John Lester too, and then obviously I got Pedro number one.
Okay. We actually have very similar lists. We have the same.
No kidding.
We have the same five names.
No way.
Our one and two are the same. We scrambled 3, 4, 5. We have the same five names.
Interesting.
Okay, so I'll rip through them since we did it. I had Sale 5. Sale finished second in the Cy Young, fourth in the Cy Young, 17 and 18. He made two All-Star teams. That's it.
Yeah, he was hurt.
He led the league in strikeouts and innings in 2017, probably correlated with injuries.
Yeah, John Farrell's like, we got to get him 300 Ks, like, or you're going to blow his arm out.
He was 46 and 30, 327 ERA. He did win a World Series. He was terrible in the postseason during his time in Boston, 1-3, 635. He did get the last outs of the World Series in 2018, but he was on the list for me. I had Beckett 4. Beckett, second in the Cy Young in 07, three All-Star games with the Red Sox, 7, 9, and 11. He was 4-0 with a 1.27 ERA in the 2007 playoffs. He deserves to be on the list, but I'd put him below Schilling, who only had one good year. You're
That's
right,
it.
Keith. One good year,
That's
two
it.
Good postseasons.
That's why I docked him.
But one good year. He was second in the Cy Young in 04. He only made one All-Star team here. He led the league in wins in 04. Two World Series with the Red Sox, two great postseason runs, 6-1, 3.28 in the postseason. I also had Lester, too. This is where I did give longevity a little bit of an edge, but he was also incredible in the playoffs.
Yeah, he's awesome.
6-4, 2-11, two-time World Series winner. He was 110-63 with a 3.64 ERA overall in Boston. Two times he was fourth in the Cy Young, 2010 and 2014, three-time All-Star in Boston. So Lester is two on the list for me, although I agree you don't think of him purely as an ace.
Yeah.
Pedro was number one. Again, this is only since 2000. We're not even factoring in Pedro's 98 and 99.
Right.
Where he was first and second, or second and first, I forget the order,
uh-huh.
in Cy Young. He won the Cy in 2000. He was second in 02, third in 03, fourth in 04, which I'm shocked at.
I forgot about that.
But he, in his five seasons in the 2000s, placed top five in the Cy Young four times.
Insane.
Three-time ERA title winner, 2000, 2002, and 2003. Led the league in strikeouts twice, 2000 and 2002.
But I don't think anybody will ever get to that level, at least for me, of who's starting tonight. Oh, it's Pedro? Holy crap.
Okay.
Like, so, you could not wait for a Pedro game.
Already I see it on the text line. Clemens!
All right, since 2000.
No, Red Sox aces since 2000. That's right. Clemens was still in the big leagues, but not in Boston.
That's right.
I was shocked at Derek Lowe's track record.
Derek Lowe, it was very good.
Derek Lowe is just not an ace. He's
never
not
an
ace.
He was even a closer at one point. So he wasn't an ace. He was
Derek
never the
Lowe,
best guy on their staff, but he had good
third
numbers.
Third in the Cy Young in 2000.
Yeah.
He was an All-Star twice in the 2000s, although one was as a closer.
Mm.
70-55, 3.72 ERA, 85 saves. He was also great in the postseason.
I'm not surprised.
4-4, 3.05.
I'm not surprised you didn't have this guy on your list, but
let
besides Pedro.
The only other Cy Young winner?
Rick Porcello.
Yeah, Porcello's not on my list.
He was 22-4. He really should. If you look at the numbers, there's no way. And I know Cade Upton was pissed.
No, he just led the league in wins that year.
Verlander should have beat him. Yeah. Verlander had more innings. He had way more strikeouts.
Porcello.
Better ERA.
Undeserving Cy Young.
Yeah.
And he was terrible. The rest, he was awful in the postseason.
Yeah.
2016 Cy Young winner. Clay Buchholz made a couple All-Star teams.
I was going to say, Buchholz surprised.
I was going to say, would you rather have Buchholz or Porcello?
Buchholz.
I'd rather have Buchholz.
Every other year, Buchholz.
Yeah, I mean,
that.
Look,
he's like,
Buchholz
every other year is really good.
Also was bad in the postseason.
Yeah.
But not as bad as Porcello. Lackey and Price, neither one even made an All-Star team here.
No, they were disappointments.
To their credit, though, they actually were both very good in the postseasons. Lackey had a 2.77
Price
ERA.
Price wasn't until he was.
Price
was
a,
terrible.
He was, but the one run when they won
he
it.
He had 18.
He was good, so I'll give him that. The other name I considered was Eovaldi.
Eovaldi was better. Yeah, if you look at it, he
similar
was good.
To Lowe, yeah. Where he wasn't ever a true ace.
That's
I don't feel.
That's a good
feel.
Comp. Eovaldi and Lowe were similar, where like you really wanted him on your staff. They were like way better than other teams. Number three,
he made an All-Star team. He was fourth in the Cy Young in 2021, which I didn't remember, and
wow.
He was great in the postseason.
Yeah,
but okay, we have the same five names. Red Sox aces since 2000. Don't give me Clemens.
But you know what's funny?
What's that?
At the end of this year, nah, no, 2 years. I think Crochet could make the list.
Well, I kind of thought you might put Crochet on the list.
I couldn't go there yet. I think it was too deep. I'd probably put Crochet sixth or seventh though on all like right like he's already pretty close. A lot of it is also going to be based on sort of expectation, but through whatever it is, eight star however many starts he has and another one tonight, the strikeouts are there. I feel like there's going to be Cy Young votes there. So what does he do? Because some of these other guys, it was really based off of, like, for Schilling, one really good year. Sale, two really good years. So Crochet's not far off that list.
No, it's true. And Sale was on each of our lists. You had him third, Keith. I had him fifth. So we both had him in our top five. He's going against Garrett Crochet tonight, which is a good jumping off point for what are your expectations for Garrett Crochet? If he has Chris Sale's career in Boston, is that enough? Is he worth it? Is that a high enough ceiling? Does he need to be better than that?
We're in Bermuda. Wiggy has been moved.
Oh,
that.
Man.
Who is that?
That's Carly Buds.
Okay.
You got me a little hype right there with okay. that. With the reggae.
He's a Bermuda artist.
Yes.
But has had success in the U.S.
Yeah, that song's okay. massive, like, in the U.S.
Okay. All right. Excellent.
He's an artist? Does that mean he paints?
Curtis, I'm sure you're a big Collie Buds fan.
I was actually at two of his concerts. Excellent.
Tomorrow on this show, Red Sox front office report with Craig Breslow at 9. Mm. And, by the way, week from Friday, we will be out and about for Roadshow number 2. So Roadshow's back, and then we go straight, once we get to Roadshow number 2, straight through until July. And the final roadshow, which is happening at the Dive on Lake Winnipesaukee on July 3rd. But next week we are in Bourne, and we'll have pregame at the Trading Post on Thursday night of next week, and then roadshow at the Lobster Trap.
Mm-hmm.
Another couple places that you've never been.
I'm looking forward to the Trading Post because I believe Shime's coming with us, and that's the over and under on the bar pizza.
Yep.
And you tell me that it's the best bar pizza around.
I think it's very, very good.
Right. So I talk a lot of ish about bar pizza, but I do enjoy it. So I'm looking forward to having some of that.
Well, we love the fact that you listen to us on our Cape Cod affiliate,
Obby's.
And we can't wait to see you down there next week. But back to the rest of this morning's news with Courtney right now.
Well, Pete Rose is now eligible for the Baseball Hall of Fame after Major League Baseball ruled that bans from the game end with death.
Mm-hmm.
So we can hear what Rose himself had to say about being inducted in the Baseball Hall of Fame after he died in his last interview before that.
I don't see much sense in putting me on the ballot after I die. Most of the people who rooted for me my whole career would love to see me in the Hall of Fame as a living player, not as someone that's 10 feet under. What good would it do my family if they put me in the Hall of Fame after I die? Because I'm the one that did the work. I'm the one that put the time in. I'm the one that was dedicated to the game of baseball. I was the one dedicated to my teammates and for the game of baseball in general. I tried to sell the game for my 24 years as a Major League Baseball player by going out there every day and busting my ass and trying to entertain the people.
I feel bad. This hurts my soul.
Yeah, well, it seems petty. If the ban can end when you die,
right?
It seems petty on the part of Major League Baseball to keep it going while you're alive. Like, give the guy his... You know, if you think he belongs there.
Major League Baseball should be ashamed of themselves. I understand that he gambled on baseball back when. It's like he served his time. He served his suspension.
He was banned for life.
But they should be ashamed. Like, you should not ban somebody for life who, you know, meant that much to the game, did that much for the game. I get it. People break rules. People do things. But there has to be
Wiggy,
a
what
way.
If you found out that John Casey bet against the Panthers in Super Bowl 38?
Listen, you want to ban them, but there's got to be a certain point in time where, just like we were talking about the Menendez brothers, you got to come up for parole at some point in time.
But so there's certain sins that are just...
There's not a sin out there that is not forgivable short of child molestation.
Okay.
There is not, in my opinion.
In our sports world, obviously not real life, if you do something that jeopardizes the faith the fan has in the actual outcome of events, then you risk everything.
Curtis, are you in the camp that he bet on Reds games?
Of course.
Okay.
As an addict, Greg, let me tell you something. You cop to whatever you think is the minimum someone knows about your behavior. That's what you do. So he knew that he couldn't say he never bet. So what he did is he said, I only bet on my team, which has two flaws. One, nights you don't bet, you're telling the other people, the wise guys, that it'd be a good night to bet against the Reds. And two, nobody with a brain believes that. If you're that deep into it, as Pete Rose was, you bet against your team.
Yeah, I believe he did. I believe he did. And I believe just like there are certain guys that took steroids during the steroid era of baseball that affected the game. But I don't believe there's a certain point in time, and Pete Rose was 80-something years old. There comes a point in time and go, okay, this guy, he ran a foul. We all agree on that. Mm-hmm. Even if he doesn't cop to it the way you want him to cop to it, there has to be a point in time where he's still alive. He did a lot for the game, and he deserves to be in baseball. He's the all-time leader when it comes to hits by a wide margin. And the fact that you're now lifting the ban after he's dead is a shame on Major League Baseball.
But why does it even matter? He's not going to get in even with the ban being lifted. Like the baseball writers are such on their high horse all the time about guys on steroids.
That's
they're
fair.
Not putting this guy in the Hall of Fame.
But baseball writers should not be on their high horses because there are probably people in the Hall of Fame that do have sketchy backgrounds. There are probably murderers in there, right? That are
People always bring up like Ty Cobb or one of those guys.
Yeah, but they're still in the Hall of Fame. I think there's got to be.
No, I didn't see him play, Sean.
But they
were there for his first at bat. What do you mean?
I did see Shoeless Joe Jackson play. Unbelievable player.
There has to be
Can he get in now, too?
Yes.
So this rule change means that those guys threw a World Series.
Right. Right. And I know what they did. I know. I understand what they did. But there has to be
Do you think Shoeless Joe Jackson should be?
If he was that talented, he should be in the Hall of Fame.
Even though he threw a World Series.
I don't care. I don't care.
Because I think there's a difference there, right? Like Pete Rose, did it affect his play on the field, his betting? And then when it comes to Jackson, it's like throwing a World Series is a bit of a jump.
Listen, but there's got to be a certain length of time where you go, okay, that person did something wrong, and we have to, based on his skill set, if there was something that happened with, and I'm not saying there was, but with LeBron James afterwards betting on this or that, and then the league finds out about it. And
no, then
they
the NBA would make betting legal.
Yeah, but
Curtis, you couldn't see it, but Wiggy was knocking on wood when he said that. Yeah, LeBron James. He doesn't want anything happening about him.
LeBron, Curtis, maybe talk about it.
I never want to see anything bad happen to people, right?
Right.
So
you're like a five chance person, basically.
No, I mean I'm 30, 40 years. Like, okay, the guy served his time. He's 80 years old. Yeah. Give him the opportunity to go in there. And if you're a baseball writer, you're telling me that the guy doesn't deserve to be in there because
based on being the best hitter.
Yeah, and he made a mistake.
Not a mistake. A mistake is the wrong term.
All right, maybe the mistake's the wrong term. He ran afoul of the game.
He jeopardized the faith the fans have in the reality of the outcomes and that people are on the level.
He did that, but guess what? People were taking steroids and they jeopardized the game.
Yeah, but that's totally different, Wiggy.
It's not totally
different. Yes, it is.
How is it different?
Because it benefited the team and the ownership. Everybody benefited.
But what you did is you put a black mark on the sport by taking steroids when people believe that you didn't. So what do they always say in the NFL? Don't disrespect that. I know disrespect's the wrong word. But don't make the shield look bad, right? Don't make Major League Baseball look bad. Whether you're betting on it or you're taking steroids, you're making Major League Baseball look bad. And the fact that you did not let this guy in after 40 years, however the hell long it was, of his punishment before he died,
but steroids,
is an absolute
Wiggy.
Shame. I don't care if it's steroids, and I don't care if it's gambling.
Okay,
it's the
but there's
same
a
thing,
huge
Curtis.
Difference. It's not even
there's
close.
Not a huge difference.
Yes, if one is in pursuit to win. The other is throwing games to
guess
lose.
What? If I rob a bank, right?
God, why don't we just stick with baseball?
No, but because breaking the law is breaking the law.
Breaking the law.
There was child molestation and nothing
else.
But
every crime has different punishments.
But I understand.
Not every crime is punishable the same way.
I understand that, but
you literally just went the opposite of what your point was.
There are certain things that I would say, okay, that you would look at and go, all right, I'm not going to give a pass on this.
But you just said breaking the law is breaking the law, which is directly in contrast to that.
Right, but is what I'm saying, breaking the law is breaking the law. So if you use steroids or you bet on baseball, you still gave a black eye to the game.
Right, but one was in pursuit of success The other was an intent to lose.
Right.
Those are very different.
Listen, I understand that they are different, but you still gave a black eye to the game of baseball. And so if
But the black eye's really on Clemens and Bonds. It's not on the game of baseball. You know what I mean? Like, we punish those that we believe to have used steroids. They're not in the Hall of Fame, despite being quote-unquote eligible.
Yeah, but there are guys in the Hall of Fame that probably use steroids.
Of course. I'm saying the people that were the faces, McGuire, Sosa, Clemens, those guys, were basically mocked.
And listen... And they all should be in the Hall of Fame, in my opinion. Like, all the steroid guys, they should be in the Hall of Fame. Like, I understand.
You don't object to anybody doing anything wrong, but is basically
Boogie does keep it 100, whether, like, despite sport, because you always say it doesn't matter what somebody does off the field.
Right.
It's just somebody does, how good of a player they are.
I get the black eye on the sport, betting on your team. I get how you affect the game. I just look at...
But player to player, Wiggy, you're the only one here that's a professional athlete. Greg got close. So if your teammate was betting against your team and another teammate was doing what Edelman did to get back from an injury, which would you view in a better light?
I would view probably...
Edelman.
Okay. It's not even close.
But here's what I would say. If they were both Hall of Fame type of players, I would say they both deserve to be in the Hall of Fame.
Okay. If you had a teammate that was trying to tank your team from winning.
Yeah, but that doesn't change my opinion or feeling on how great of a player he was. Like, if Tom Brady and it was Edelman, I wouldn't change my feeling on how great of a player that guy was.
Well, use the example of shoeless Joe Jackson.
I don't remember Joe Jackson, though.
But a Super Bowl. Like, if you had a guy on your team...
I would be upset at that guy. But I wouldn't say if
but
you...
But he somehow is able to tank the Super Bowl.
Tank the Super Bowl.
So that he can win money on the side on a bet.
Right.
And you think he should still be in the Hall.
I would say if that guy is that great of a player, I would be pissed at him. I would be angry at him. I might not like him. I would say he gave a black eye to the sport. What could he have done? But at the end of the day, if that guy was that good... I would say he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame.
Huh. Wow. All right. That's it on the news.
Sure.
Or did you have other things?
Well, there was one more. Hulu has released a trailer for an upcoming legal drama, and I'm all in for it. It's starring Kim Kardashian. It's called All's Fair. Other stars.
She's acting?
Oh, she acted in American Horror Story. She was really good, actually, in it. But
okay.
Naomi Watts is in it. Glenn Glenn Close and Sarah Paulson.
You're having a rough one.
I know. I just had a stroke, I think. And they all play like high-level divorce attorneys.
Uh-huh. Is the rum swizzle like an SSRI where it like slowly comes out?
I don't know. I went to
You were a little tipsy last night.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you went to bed early.
Yeah, 9:30.
Yeah.
Glenn Close.
Because you were playing that drinking game with your finger on the glass.
Yes, you were. You guys were. What was that game?
Fingers.
Fingers?
Yeah.
So confusing.
Count down to 3, 2, 1, and then you have to say a number. And if that number is the amount of fingers left on the glass, you're out, and the last person standing has to chug.
You went through 14 pitchers of swizzles.
Yeah, well, not by myself. Looking around, a lot of people were playing, enjoying it.
No, it's
yeah, Jake C was way drunker than I was.
Okay. Well, that's not a positive for you. Yeah. All right. All right. Thank you, Courtney.
That's the news.
Coming up at 9, we'll be joined by Mego, and she's our Celtics insider. So we'll talk about Game 5 tonight, about Jason Tatum and a successful surgery yesterday on the ruptured Achilles tendon. All of that with Mego coming up at 9. Right now, Courtney, and what is trending this hour?
Glenn Close.
WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson. Weekdays 2 to 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Northeastern Savings Bank. It was indeed worst-case scenario for Jason Tatum. The Celtics announced that he underwent successful surgery to repair a ruptured right Achilles tendon. No timetable is currently available for his return, but he is expected to make a full recovery Further updates will be provided when appropriate. That came from the Celtics X account. Game 5 of the C Series with the Knicks is tonight at 7 p.m. The only addition to the injury report besides Tatum is Sam Hauser, who's listed as probable. The other NBA playoff games last night, the Thunder go up 3-2 on the Nuggets, while the Pacers eliminated the Cavs in Game 5. The Red Sox took it to extra innings but couldn't get it done against the Tigers' final 10-9 in 11 innings. Bregman, Campbell, and Hamilton all homered in this one, while Brian Baio went 4 2/3 in his start. He gave up 2 runs on 6 hits while striking out 4. We can hear from Alex Cora, who believes the team needs to do a better job from last night's Nissan Red Sox postgame show.
Offensively, we kept pushing on the mound. We didn't do a good job against the bottom of the lineup. That's the bottom line. We walked Javi once, they ended up scoring, then he hit 2 homers. I mean, he's swinging the bat well, but we just need to do a better job.
Another one with the Tigers today, 6:40 first pitch. Lou Maloney will join Will Fleming on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's Perfecting the Art of Fresh. Kick things off with Christian Arcan at 5:40 for the MassMutual pregame show. As for NHL playoff games last night, just one. The Stars lead the Jets 3-1.
Curtis, are we getting close to the point where we can talk about the Red Sox? And I know it's a long season, so we can't talk about it in April. Can't talk about it for most of May.
Right.
But can we talk about that a little bit of disappointment in what we thought they were going to be?
Yeah.
And without deflecting to the fact that the Wiki uses this one a lot, that the division is so bad, so they're in it. It's fine. May 30th, when do we, Memorial Day weekend? Like, when
through
can we talk about
44 games,
it?
I would give Cora a D.
Okay.
I think you look at the specifics surrounding the Devers situation that required Henry to fly out there. At the bare minimum, Cora misread the roster and how it was going to be received. And the team last night, brutal loss. I mean, to be 500 at this stage, not good.
Yeah.
Well, Northeastern Savings Bank is the leading alternative to using big banks for businesses and families in Massachusetts. Upgrade to local partner, upgrade to Northeastern Savings Bank, member FDIC and DIF. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
All righty. 55 degrees, cloudy skies, windy afternoon high, near 70.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.